Welcome in, Lineup Logic. You are watching the Week 10 NFL live stream. Joining me tonight, Jeremy Lopez, take no days off. What's going on, my man?
What's going on, Mike? How's it going?
Good, good. Just in the living room tonight. We've been like constantly redoing the house, and I'm in a different chair in a different position almost every week at this point. But it's getting settled now. Hopefully we're done doing dining room changes and all that stuff. But yeah, so to the football, we're going to try something new tonight, guys. I was inspired by Jeremy Lopez, by JJ Zacharyson on the Late Round podcast. He does a really concise and impactful podcast. So what I was thinking was we're going to shorten it up. We're going to hit the positions, go position by position, and just the plays that we think we really need to talk about. So cut out some of the what we expand on for 70 minutes most weeks, and see if this if you guys like this at all. Starting off then at quarterback, a lot of people's favorite quarterback this week. He's been getting it done. Ryan Fitzpatrick facing Washington. They're not the worst pass defense. They can get it done at home. On the road, I don't have as much concern about going up against them. But just the aggression that Tampa Bay plays with, like we talk about Fitzpatrick every time he's starting. Todd Monken is really hitting it out of the park as a play caller, mainly because they have to be aggressive. So that's the one pitfall that worries me this week is, you know, is Washington going to be slow paced and not score and allow Tampa Bay to be less conservative? But I feel like we know who the Bucs are. They want to, you know, target downfield. Fitzpatrick is not a dump off style quarterback. He's a go for broke style quarterback, and they're embracing that. What do you think about old Fitzmagic there, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same boat. Like, I'm having the same concerns as you. If the game flow goes where Washington comes out and they score a couple touchdowns and go up 14-0, you know the Fitzmagic is coming back.
Yep.
But if the game is a 3-0 game going into the second quarter, I might start getting a little bit worried with Fitzpatrick. But this is about a league average matchup for him, so I don't really adjust the baseline that much. I just think that he's in line to do what he normally does, and that's 300 right. yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and it, you know, like you said, Washington's they're not a bad defense, they're not a good defense. So let's just focus on what we know about Ryan Fitzpatrick as a starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you know, it's be aggressive, and he's, you know, he's a good price on both sites. Over on FanDuel, he's 5900. You know, it's the risk of interceptions and meltdown is probably what's holding his price down every week. But you know, he's got a bunch of 400 yard games already in the books. He had 4 touchdowns last week, I believe. It's just too good to pass up. He's going to be popular, but I'm okay with a popular quarterback as most of you guys are as well.
Yeah. Popular for quarterbacks is only like 12% owned. So
right.
You just take what you believe in.
Yep. All right. Next guy on our list, Matt Ryan. Normally don't like Matt Ryan that much on the road, but coming into Cleveland, their wheels are spinning a little bit. They lost their head coach 2 weeks ago. Greg Williams is a donk. He's got no clue how to call an NFL defense. They're getting torn up on the ground. It's definitely possible that continues. So, you know, the Falcons have actually been a really good offense. A lot of it because of their defense. Again, and you know, same situation as kind of Tampa. They're giving up way too many points. They've got to chase. Cleveland's offense is okay. Like they can score some points at home here, I think, and keep Atlanta, you know, firing downfield. And, you know, Julio finally scored a touchdown last week. We'll talk about Julio in a minute. He's got weapons as well outside of Julio. Calvin Ridley, Mo Sanu, really reliable. Austin Hooper's not the best tight end in the league, but he can score a touchdown. And that running game looked pretty decent last week for Atlanta. So everything seems to be kind of coming together for them a little bit here, and they need to make a strong push for the playoffs. So you've got Matt Ryan as a top QB here in the model. Jeremy, you're on board with him this week, obviously.
Yeah, the thing about Matt Ryan the thing about the Browns, I should say, is that they just allow so many offensive plays. Mm-hmm. And this is a spot where, like, Matt Ryan, you know, he can get it done in the red zone. And if they're constantly getting there, then it's like this is one of those games where Matt Ryan can just throw three touchdowns and he might not have the yardage, but it's more of a like touchdown boost game for me.
Yep. And they're not afraid to throw to their backs in the red zone, which is another kind of nice, like cheap exactly. touchdown route. You know, Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith both have a nice share of touchdowns in the last few weeks of their games. So, yeah, I mean, I'm targeting Cleveland probably rest of the way out. I think that ship only continues to sink.
Yeah, I'm the same way. That's exactly what I think.
Yep. All right, next one on the list, Philip Rivers. And the reason I put him on the list, you know, he hasn't blown the doors off this season. He's actually scored exactly two or three touchdowns in every single game. And that's just really nice consistency. You know, they got the Raiders. It's in Oakland. Who cares at this point? The Raiders season is obviously lost. That team is quitting on Gruden. You know, that locker room is about to implode. Yeah, they cut Bruce Irvin, one of their vets. So nobody's happy in that building. Derek Carr just doesn't seem like he's a fit for John Gruden's offense. I don't know if anybody's a fit for John Gruden's offense in 2019, but you know, it is what it is. So the Chargers should have a pretty solid day. You know, it's will they need to attack? Not a ton. There's still an offense that likes to score, I think. So I think there's points to be had there. You can sign off on Rivers, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm pretty much sticking between the other three guys that we'll be talking about for quarterback today. Mm-hmm. As my core, a group of guys to choose from, for the simple fact that Rivers, this is like one of those volume. Like decreasing games for him because Oakland is so bad against the run. They're so bad on defense, period.
Yeah.
But because it is so easy to run on them that I think that the game flow will go towards Gordon a little bit more. But it is a spot where I can see Rivers getting his typical at least two touchdowns and probably both of them going to Keenan Allen.
Yeah, and we'll talk about both those guys in the other position sections, but our last quarterback that we feel like we got to mention, Josh McCown, going to be drawing the start here. Hard to know what you're going to get out of him. He was good last year in spots, you know, especially when they were aggressive. Problem is Buffalo is not going to force the issue. I don't know if Buffalo is going to even score a touchdown on Sunday. But, you know, 4,300 is, you know, backup price. And Buffalo on the road, they're not quite as good. You know, they enjoy being in their home building. They're a little stingier when they're there. The Jets have scored points in spots when they've had the right mix of play calling. So it's not out of the question that, like, McCown could throw two touchdowns to Robbie Anderson and one to Chris Herndon or Anunua or you know, one of the other guys there, and have himself a passable day. And like, if he hits 16, 17 points, he's one of the best values at quarterback. So I know you're getting him input to the model, Jeremy, because we don't really have a lot of data on him at the moment, but, yeah. Just wanted to mention him as a guy that you can't quite ignore.
Yeah, the thing I like about Josh McCown was last year I always got him at low ownership because everybody just, I mean, he is not a very good quarterback, but he is a very serviceable backup, much like Fitzpatrick and Nick Foles on his good days. You know, so he's one of the better backups in the league. And so if I can get a quality backup quarterback at a very good price, where you know that he's going to get fantastic field position almost every single drive because of how poor the Buffalo offense is, then absolutely, I'm going to definitely take shots on that.
Yep. All right, let's get over to the running back position. We're not going to spend any time talking about Todd Gurley. We've gone over that on the pod, I think, plenty. I think at this point in the season, you also know whether you're a guy who's going to cram Todd Gurley in or not. Totally a viable strategy. We've seen it all season work. But the first guy that I think we need to talk about is Kareem Hunt. He's going to be chalky. He's very popular. Obviously, getting Arizona, they're a bottom five run defense. Kareem Hunt is peaking at the moment, you know, absolutely crushing it, scoring touchdowns, catching the ball. And that's, you know, that's the linchpin for success as a running back in an Andy Reid offense is receiving work. You know, it was what made Brian Westbrook so good. So many of these past great running backs, Jamal Charles, guys like that, that's really what inflated their fantasy totals at the end of the day. So a couple things to point out on Hunt. Obviously, Casey's a huge favorite. And you might think, like, that's good. They should just get a lead and continue to run the ball with Hunt, which they may do. But when they're in the lead, Kansas City is actually still a fairly neutral play-calling unit. They're about 50%, even with a lead of run-pass mixture, like a significant lead. So, you know, they're still going to throw the ball, even though they're in the lead. And I think that's okay, though, because, like I said, the running back is definitely a primary passing target, and it's a high percentage throw. So Hunt could easily add a bunch of second half receptions, even if he has a modest rushing total. So between rushing and receiving, he's a great guy. He's one of your top values in the tools, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, right now I got him second behind another guy that we're talking about in a few. But yeah, Kareem Hunt, this is a spot where even though Kansas City does maintain that balance between passing and running with the lead, I do think that this game is going to be to the point where, like, Arizona can't score. You know, they're just not that good. So it's going to be to the point where they just have to run the ball for, like, almost the entire fourth quarter, and Kareem Hunt is going to get a lot of work.
Yeah, the Chiefs' defense is a lot better at home. I know they're not a good defense, but yeah, they allow 20-some points on the road, and they're down into the teens at home.
And they're going up against a rookie quarterback, you know. So
yeah,
this is a spot where you can almost pencil in Kareem Hunt for over 100 yards and at least a touchdown. That's his floor, in my opinion, with two touchdowns and 180-plus yards from scrimmage as a ceiling.
Yeah, he's definitely the captain on Team Cram Him In this week. Yeah. And then the co-captain for me would be Melvin Gordon. You know, we talked about the Raiders. They're bad. They're really bad. You can run on them. It's the easiest thing to do. Melvin Gordon is a volume back in that offense. He's definitely a focal point. So, you know, you got to think Gordon is scoring at least one touchdown with a pretty solid total. Easily could be a multi-touchdown day with 100-plus combined yards. And as you alluded to, he's your top value this week, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon is my top value. The matchup is just so good. But the thing about it is, too, is that Oakland plays at such a slow pace, too, that they're allowing very minimal opponent plays per game. So you know that this is not going to be a volume increase for Gordon. Like, he's averaging about 17 to 18 carries a game. Mm-hmm. So you know you're most likely not going to get that 22 carry game with that six receptions. You know, you're not going to get that in this game, but you can pencil in those 17 to 18 carries as very efficient carries. And he's going to be averaging about 4 yards, 4 to 5 yards a carry. And he's going to get all of the red zone work. So absolutely at that price, it's not the sexiest. It is a much higher price that we're used to at rostering Melvin Gordon in, but it's a price that you can still get behind in this matchup with the multi-touchdown upside.
Yeah, and I can easily see him exceeding that yardage average. The Raiders give up chunk plays like it's nobody's business. That yeah, you know, they don't want to tackle, they don't want to play hard, they've quit. So on 17 carries, I could easily see him averaging 6-7 yards. And he gets passing work as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next back on our list, gonna go down the pricing a little here. Aaron Jones, he's another guy that's pretty popular this week. He's starting to, you know, I wouldn't say take over that backfield, but he's earning his role. He's, you know, showing that he's he deserves the carries. He's a much more efficient back. You know, Jamal Williams just gets nothing done on the ground. And while it's still a timeshare, we got rid of Ty Montgomery a couple weeks ago. And this game script really should feed into Jones getting heavily worked in the second half. You can run on the Dolphins. They're on the road here coming into Lambeau. This should be a smash spot for the Packers. They got beat by the Patriots in a primetime game last week. They got to come back home here, right the ship. I think they score early, they score often, and then it's Jones' game from there out. You think that's the script we're going to see, Jeremy?
Yeah, pretty much a volume increase for Jones and an efficiency increase for Jones. Yeah, this is about where you know Jones is talented. That's the first thing. Two, he should be pretty fresh still because they haven't really used him that heavily this year. So right. Yeah, he should still have them strong legs that most running backs are starting to slow down at this point during the season. So I do think that he's a very viable play, especially at that price on this slate.
And speaking of a guy that's going to have fresh legs, Jordan Howard is the next guy on my list here. We saw last week, you know, when they commit to him, what can go right with two touchdowns. So, you know, they're getting the Lions at home. The Lions defense has been run on all season. They trade it for Damon Harrison. That hasn't changed anything. That unit's not going to be better against the run until next season, if at all. I still think, you know, there's a little risk there with Tariq Cohen. You don't know what the game plan is going to be, but I have to think it's feature Jordan Howard the whole game. Give it to him right out of the gate. Just you know, have that kind of game plan. Control the ball. Keep the Detroit offense on the sideline, and you know, exploit the easiest thing to target on that Detroit defense. And he's pretty high up in your tools there too, Jeremy, right?
Yeah, he's top 10 right now.
Yeah, so that's I mean, I wouldn't say like sneaky, but you know, he's kind of buried down there in the middle as far as pricing goes.
Yeah, you're probably looking at single digit ownership for him.
Yeah, so you know, if he scores two touchdowns at his price, which is totally in play here, it's the kind of games that he has when he gets the opportunity against a bad defense.
Yeah, and I'm not too much worried about Tariq Cohen. The games that he exploded were 100% predictable. Like, those were matchups where you know that if you paid attention to game flow and game script, that you knew Cohen was going to go off in those games. This is a matchup where the Lions are actually good at preventing running back reception, so it's not really a spot where I think that Cohen is in. He's a threat to take any carries or any work from Jordan Howard. I think that as long as they can keep Stafford off the field and keep the game in range, I think it can be a 20 carry game for Jordan Howard.
I would love that. All right, last guy on the list, and we talked this on the Tuesday pod a little bit, but you got Nick Chubb, and there's, you know, Duke Johnson is garnering some popularity. And just to reiterate, the take Quaffo and I were kind of in agreement on is that, you know, Duke had a great week, but it came on a lot of targets, you know, really heavy target share. You know, you just can't count on a running back to get that. You know, even the best guys struggle to get near 10 targets in any given week. So for Duke Johnson to count on him getting that volume, sure, they could fall behind. Sure, he could, and it could be a good game. But the Falcons are, you know, one of the worst defenses against running backs from a fantasy standpoint. And, you know, if you got to pick one, I'm going to pick Nick Chubb. He can still catch a couple balls. He's going to get the majority of the rushing total. You had him projected for almost 20 carries, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, I have him at 17. So
17. So
yeah, that's right about where he's been at. And I think this game flow could keep that at around the same. I don't think it's going to be a very drastic like blowout or anything like that. The Browns have been sticking in almost every game.
Yeah, like I think the Falcons are going to score, but they'll also give up points as usual.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like that it's at home. That's a little bit of an edge for him. And we haven't had the breakout yet, the Chubb breakout. You know, people have used him in a few spots that seemed, you know, plus. And it's been good, not great. So I'm going to keep throwing out a share or two of Chubb, waiting on that game where he shows that talent that we saw from his, I believe it was three carries and 100 and like how many yards, you know, two touchdown performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, that's coming soon. You know, obviously not the three carry part, but I could see him having that 150 plus yards and two touchdown performance somewhere rest of the way here. They're going to commit to the run. He's going to be the guy that they're going to feature.
Yeah, and Falcons are top, or I should say bottom half in the league at yards per carry. So yeah. This is a spot where Chubb can definitely hit that. And if they give him any kind of receiving work at all in this game, it's just going to be a magical night for him. Maybe I should say.
All right, let's get to the wide receivers. First guy on the list is Julio Jones. Finally caught a touchdown. It's been a long time in the making.
That's it for the year. He's done for the year. That's his touchdown.
He's going to get a couple more. The funny part is they could both come in one game, though.
Yeah. I think he's been averaging about four touchdowns a season for the last few years. And I think he has one this year, right?
Yeah, one. So,
he'll have three tomorrow. He'll have three Sunday. Yeah, that's it.
There's a multi-touchdown performance coming at some point, and everyone on Twitter is going to tilt their heads off. Yeah. For what it's worth, you know, I run a little prop thing with some touts to see where they're at on certain guys. And the Julio prop I put out there was, will he score one plus touchdowns, 100 plus yards, both or neither? And the vast majority was either on both or 100 plus yards. So you've got a floor there with a really nice ceiling. You know, there's not a ton of receiver this week, so maybe don't get too cute. Maybe take the guy that's the stud.
Yeah, I don't mind Julio at all. I mean, like, he's so productive between the 20s, and then it's just like, as soon as you get to the red zone, it's like, oh, let's just take our best player out of the game.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that, I mean, that – the one reason why I almost never roster Julio is because you're paying a premium price for a player that, like, you need multi-touchdowns to break the slate from. And you know his touchdown ceiling is so low throughout the season. I almost never play him. But in this spot, I can definitely get behind a few touchdowns from him.
All right, next guy on the list, Keenan Allen. We've been harping on the Raiders here. You know, so I either want to use Gordon or I want to use Rivers with Keenan Allen. He's yet to break out. You know, he kind of had a really similar first half last season where the yardage was there, the receptions were there, and he just wasn't scoring that many touchdowns. And all of a sudden in the middle of the season, you know, guys like myself and Mr. Kane, who would always kind of work Keenan into our cash lineups, all of a sudden, you know, we're starting to get these huge performances out of him. And we're just like, well, yeah, I mean, I'll keep rostering him. He's got such a great floor. And when he scores touchdowns, it becomes, you know, giant 30-point days. So I could see that coming here, you know, if not this week, then soon. But, you know, the Raiders, we've said everything that needs to be said about them, I think. Where do you have Keenan in the tools, Jeremy, for his projection?
I got him down. He's not as high at all this week for me. And it's mainly because I think it's the style that the Raiders play, where they just they like to undercut everything, and they want you to beat them deep, and that's mm-hmm. like the exact opposite of what Keenan Allen does. He really makes his bread and butter across the middle of the field, and that's what the Raiders shoot to take away. Even though they're bad, that's right. What they're trying to take away. Yeah.
So they're gonna beat us. Beat us huge.
Yeah, because of that, they are above average in receptions per target and targets per game. So
you actually like Tyrell the Gazelle a little bit then?
Yeah, he'll probably. It's hard to project players like that are like boom bust. But if I had to give away one touchdown, that's not Melvin Gordon. It'll probably be one of the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Moving to the next guy that's in a plus spot here, Tyler Boyd. Obviously, AJ Green is out. He's got the toe issue. It's going to be a multi-week thing. So this offense really needs to find an identity. The Saints, you can pass on them. That you don't really run on them for whatever reason. They've got a good run defense. I don't get it, but it's a thing at this point. So Tyler Boyd having a breakout season. We're going to find out whether he can be the man with AJ out. Any thoughts on Boyd, Jeremy?
Yeah, he's my top value nice. And overall wide receiver play this week. He gets PJ Williams defense, and he's ranking right now as the third worst cornerback this week as far as matchups go. And we know Tyler Boyd, he's already shown that multi-touchdown upside. Now with no AJ Green this week, he might garner a little bit more attention, but I think he has the talent to perform in any matchup.
Yeah, I like that you pointed out that cornerback matchup. Hopefully the Bengals are smart enough to keep him in that, you know, slot role for most of his snaps. They're getting John Ross back, which should help if he can, you know, play an entire game and stay healthy. He's really an outside receiver only. I don't expect him to obviously be there 100% of the snaps. Nobody is, but if he can work over half of his snaps against PJ Williams, that's a great spot.
Yeah, and the Saints as a defense, yards per target, they're just massive. I mean, I have them as second on the slate as far as giving up yards per target, and that's only behind the Colts. Yeah. So, or was it the Colts? Let me double check that one. Oh, it's Detroit. I'm sorry.
Detroit.
Yeah. So yeah, as far as yards per target goes, it's the Saints, and we know he's going to get the targets because there's no AJ Green, and we know he's efficient, and so it's just everything just matches up for this to be a solid play. Yeah. My number one receiver right now, he's almost certainly going to make my final roster.
Yeah, the only concern I have in this game is, as we mentioned this before we went on, is you and I could both see this being a Mark Ingram game where they just use the running game to take over, you know, the Saints, that is. But even in that, like, if that happens, the Bengals are still going to need to throw the ball. They're still going to be trailing. So I don't see too many scenarios where Boyd doesn't at least have solid value.
Yeah, it's, to me, in this spot, it's just hard for him to fail. And ultimately, in football, that's what we're looking for, is just guys who just, either can't fail or it's very low chances that they fail. And for me, this is a spot where it's just a very minimal chance that he fails in this spot. So it's I believe in the play and I'm going with it.
All right, and you just mentioned Detroit, and they're the other defense that we're harping on right in this segment this week. And for good reason. You know, they're a bottom five defense. Matt Patricia's not a good coordinator, at least in my opinion. You know, it doesn't matter that he's got a rep that he wears a pencil in his hat. He's getting shredded. He got shredded with the Patriots for most of last year. We've got a body of evidence that he's not great. So let's target him. And one of your favorite guys is Taylor Gabriel. So give us the pitch there, Jeremy.
Yeah, Taylor Gabriel, he's in a spot where, I mean, we mentioned how the Lions are so poor against the run. And first things first is that they do give him carries at times. They design plays to get the ball in his hands.
He's there to re-kill.
Exactly, yes. So that's the first thing. And second, yes, the Lions, because they are so bad at stopping the run, they are a lower volume team when it comes to targets per game to wide receivers, but they are so inefficient at stopping the wide receivers. And Taylor Gabriel right now is he's just popping at the top of the wide receiver cornerback chart, going up against Tease Tabor, and I think that's how you say his name. But yeah, he's just popping in all. Everything that I see is just matching up for this to be a solid Taylor Gabriel game, and I don't hear anybody talking about him yet.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit of chatter, but I think people got burned a few weeks back on Gabriel. You know, it was supposed to be a Gabriel smash spot and didn't come to fruition. So people have kind of been leery on him. And you know, it's not without risk. Allen Robinson is back. They've got weapons at every single level. You know, Burton at tight end. They've also got Anthony Miller as another athletic receiver, and then Cohen and Howard in the backfield. And Trubisky calls his own number a decent amount and runs the ball as well. So it's not, you know, it's not a foolproof option with some of the security of the previous guys we mentioned, but he's got multi-touchdown talent. It's happened once this year already. So,
yep.
Good spot. Then the last guy I wanted to bring up, T.Y. Hilton. And the biggest reason I'm interested in Hilton is, you know, people are still going to shy away from him. They're going to see Jacksonville, you know, when they go to look down the list of receivers and they see Hilton's name next to it, it's going to be Jacksonville. Oh, you don't use wide receivers against Jacksonville. Yes and no. You can attack them out of the slot. They're also missing AJ Bouye, I believe, on the outside. So Hilton, you know, he can get off of Ramsey in a couple of ways there. Frank Reich, you would believe, is creative enough to scheme him open and away from the, you know, the one guy on that defense that you really have to shy away from. And he, you know, he's at home. He's got a great home road split, much better at home. He's Andrew Luck's guy. They got Doyle back, but there's still no receivers to throw to on that offense. So, you know, the smart coaching move is just sacrifice Ryan Grant to Jalen Ramsey and let T.Y. Hilton do his thing. You know, their safety play hasn't been great either. Barry Church he's getting up there a little bit. He's not been, you know, the player he was a year or two ago. So if you can burn the safeties as well, that's Hilton's bread and butter is getting loose deep. You got anything to add on Hilton there, Jeremy?
Nah, I'm on team no wide receivers versus Jags.
and that's it. Like, you know, it could not work out. You know, any receiver could bust, but like,
yeah, of course
you're going to get ownership. And he's a guy that, you know, when he goes bananas, you know, it's 100 plus yards, it's multiple touchdowns.
And this is not to say that he can't explode. To be honest, is the fact that I've been doing one lineup a week, and I just I don't see how I can make him work with all of the construction that I've been doing. Has basically been like Tyler Boyd and two cheap wide receivers because I'm on team jamming the Gordon and Hunt, you know. So it's like I haven't even thought about Hilton this week, and that's a plus to you because you're going to be able to get him at super low ownership if he explodes. That's the kind of things you need to be a Millie Maker winner.
Yep. All right, let's hit a couple of tight ends here. You got Travis Kelce, the most expensive tight end, I believe. You know, it's for good reason. There's no safety at tight end besides Kelce. The Cardinals, they can be beat by tight ends. You know, it's a great spot for him. I don't think we have to expand on that too heavily. Next guy on my list is OJ Howard, who's slowly becoming a household name. You know, he's a wide receiver in a tight end's body. You know, he's got the athleticism. He scored, I believe, two touchdowns last week.
Yep.
So you know, it's just that Tampa offense. It's the tight ends are primary red zone options, and he's pushed Cameron Brate to the wayside, especially now that Jameis is no longer quarterback. Brate's kind of dead to us in fantasy. So OJ Howard is a top target of mine. And you said you've been using Howard fairly heavily as well, right, Jeremy?
Yeah. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been able to just like plug him in because his price tag was just like disrespectful. And if you're going to be playing Fitzpatrick, which I did, if you're going to be playing him, you're going to need, somebody who he actually looks to in the red zone. And I just started noticing that he looks to OJ Howard a lot when they're in the red zone. So absolutely, that's a spot where, like you said, OJ is a super athletic tight end, and he's a mismatch for almost all linebackers. The matchup isn't fantastic, but it is a league average matchup. And so you're just going to bet on the Fitzpatrick and OJ Howard relationship right there and hope for the boom to happen again.
Right. Yeah. And his price came up. You know, he's the third most expensive tight end at 5,300. So that could keep his ownership, you know, from blowing up the way it should. People still, you know, they're going to aim to pay down a tight end. You had a guy like Jared Cook right there behind him, by not a lot of salary. So, Howard could be again a nice bit of ownership for you. The next guy you wanted to talk about was Jordan Reed, and I'm a huge Jordan Reed fan. He's a really nice salary this week. That was one of your main points when we were chatting pre-show. You know, and who else does Washington have to throw to? Their receiving core is falling apart. Alex Smith doesn't throw, you know, to receivers really. You know, he did last week a little bit, but the Falcons are kind of a terrible defense. Take us through your Jeremy Reed play.
Jordan Reed, but
Jordan Reed. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like everything you just mentioned, the price tag is like, we don't get Jordan Reed at 5,200 on FanDuel. You know, that just doesn't happen. I think this might be his season low price tag, and surprisingly, it's probably his season best matchup. So, I mean, there's going to be points scored in this game versus this Bucks defense, and this is where I'm just going to bet on the talent. I know Jordan Reed is talented. It's not Kirk Cousins slinging the ball back there, but Alex Smith should be able to hit him for at least one. And when he has that double touchdown game, everybody's just going to be kicking themselves like, why didn't I play Jordan Reed at 5,200? You know, so it's just one of those spots where I think it's just like everything sets up perfectly for him to explode.
Yeah, agreed. And then the last guy on my list, Trey Burton. We've gone over the Lions heavily. they haven't been quite as awful against tight ends this season. A big part of that, I think, is some of the linebacker changes, but they're still just an exploitable matchup when Burton is part of the game plan for the Bears. You know, when he's a focal point, he had the 30-point performance earlier this year. That's totally within the realm of possibilities. I'm just checking the chat here real quick. You got Kenny chiming in on a couple of things. He said he's a little worried about Dalton struggling along with all the Bengals. I can see that, Kenny. Obviously there's bad Andy when things go wrong, he just regresses to a point that the entire team just gets anchored. I still think Boyd out of the slot is going to, catch enough balls that if you're in a PPR or even half PPR scenario, he's not going to kill you. And then you also mentioned Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who is a nice play. He's showing that there's a lot of teams that passed on him and they should not have that needed a receiver. He's big, he's fast, he's strong. He's got way less competition with Geronimo Allison on IR. And Randall Cobb is, I feel like that offense is kind of done with him. Like, they're going to use him, when it benefits them, but they're sick of making him like a focal point in their game planning and their meetings, and just missing him week after week. And he's just breaking down. So MVS has got plenty to offer and pick that slack up. You like MVS this week, Jeremy?
I haven't even dug into him yet. I saw that Miami was playing and I was like, oh, this game is going to be low scoring and slow pace. I didn't even dig into it at all.
Yeah, I don't worry a ton. Obviously the Dolphins don't care that they're losing and they grind the pace, but yeah, I don't care a ton about that. I think Green Bay is efficient enough that they'll just get the ball back and score. Hopefully have enough points there. I'm not afraid of Xavien Howard covering Davante Adams. Like, I would still use Davante Adams.
Well, he's matchup proof, so.
Yeah, like he's got such touchdown upside. Yeah. But it could lead to Aaron Rodgers looking MVS's way a little bit more than usual if there's good coverage on Adams, especially if they have a lead. Like, they're just not going to force the ball over to Adams. And if they do have a lead, then Adams was probably a part of getting that lead. So,
yeah, and I think he has MVS did gain Aaron Rodgers' trust over the last few weeks. And like we talked about a few weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers only throws to guys he trusts. So he'll keep on flinging it to you in triple coverage if he thinks that you got an actual chance of making a play. So.
Yeah, he's throwing him jump balls. He's throwing MVS some 50-50 balls that he's coming down with. So that should continue.
Yeah, so the targets aren't going anywhere no matter the matchup. So if Rodgers trusts you, you're going to get the ball.
Good stuff. All right, guys, that's what we got this week. Hope you like the new format. As usual, let's throw some plugs in here. You can become a patron of Lineup Logic. Go to patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month gets you Jeremy's tools, the Slack chat, the cheat sheet, all the good stuff that you guys need on Sundays. And, Jeremy, Spectre, all the guys are cranking NBA now. Quaffo, Jeremy are putting the NBA pod back out, so listen for that as well. You can get me on Twitter at @Roto_Juan. Jeremy is at Take No Days Off, correct?
Yeah, Take No Days Off.
And that's because he's always grinding, so. Yep. Have a good week, Jeremy. Good luck, and hopefully you guys cash.
Thank you. I'm trying to win the millie.
All right, get after it.